There goes Pee Wee Reese.
All right, we are back with episode 241 of Jump Brothers and Podcast. College Hoops is over. We're going to cover UFC 300. We've got Masters Week. A lot of stuff coming at you. We kind of ruined a little bit, not ruined, but we talked before we started recording about the whole spectacle that was the eclipse yesterday or on Monday. Kind of alluded to how the fact that we thought it was overrated. I don't know where you're at part of the country, but Missouri was absolutely nuts that day.
Not Missouri.
And I got
the east side of Missouri, but yeah.
I admit a lot of it was, but
yeah. And true. I got a ticket going to work yesterday morning.
For what? Really? Speeding?
Oh, are you ready for this? So I bought my wife a new car on Friday. This is my first day driving her car. So I traded mine in. Go to the gas station 2 minutes down the road from my house. Pull out of the gas station. A cop pulls right behind me. I'm not 40 feet onto the road. Whips its lights on. Like, what the fuck? This woman has been driving with expired plates since August of last year.
Oh.
And I get pulled over the first day driving this car. And she hasn't gotten pulled over once.
August?
Oh my God.
August.
How did it
has the nerve? It has the nerve to not take any accountability for it.
How did neither of you guys realize that?
How am I gonna? I don't drive the car. How am I gonna realize it?
But it sits in your driveway, though. That's got a 23 on it, not a 24.
I never look at my license plates. Nonetheless, the license plates on the car that I don't even drive to work every day.
To be fair, I don't know if we changed something, but I noticed that the other day. Like, I went to go put something out of my trunk of my car, and mine say March of 24 on them. I'm like, oh fuck, today's April 3rd. My plates are expired. I never got anything in the mail, and apparently they don't send them out anymore.
I got something in the mail in November for mine. So
I don't know.
I'm calling.
She was like,
I didn't get anything. Jared said he doesn't get it anymore. How am I supposed to know? I never look at my license plates.
She should have known because I was talking to her about this on Saturday.
Yeah.
So she should have thought back. Like, when's the last time I renewed my plates?
To be fair, and not to say that Ashley is totally in the right, but before I got my new truck with my new plates that have like a recognizable like letter number pattern, I didn't even know what my license plate number was forever. Like, anytime somebody would be like, I need your license plate, I'd have to go outside, take a picture, come back inside. So
yeah.
I don't look at my plates ever, but
yeah,
still,
that's how much does that ticket run you, by the way?
There's another thing. Of course, everything I get in my life is broken and or doesn't work. The lady police officer
who
printed this ticket does not have a ticket number on it. So I can't go online and look at it and pay. Now I got to call the courts.
Nice.
See how much it is, but I looked it up and it's like $50.
I was going to say $35, $50. It's not bad.
Did you give her the sob story at least?
She looked at me like, how fucking special do you have to be?
I mean, that's almost a year. It's like, we're like 7, 8 months.
She was like, but the thing is, she was like, I could have given you a warning if it were 2 to 3 months, but since it's that long, I'm like, what's it matter?
Where do we draw the line here? Official line 3 months? So I can wait until June to get my renewed, is what you're telling me.
Apparently so, but I've seen temp tags that have been expired since 2021 driving around.
Yeah,
right. That's the St. Louis.
I just thought it was ironic. I thought it was ironic.
St. Louis, what you know it?
The first day that I drive the car, I get a ticket. So that's how I started my week.
Fun.
And then the internet went down at work. I had to handwrite all my notes for tonight because the internet was down. I had no computer access.
It was the aliens.
So this beer's for you.
Yeah. That wasn't actually the moon going in front of the sun. That was a giant UFO flying sideways is what that was.
They're known to be very laterally quick.
Yeah.
So what he said.
Fun times.
So boys, how are you doing? What are you drinking? I saw Ethan was drinking Yingling Flight.
I'm drinking Yingling Light. This is my dream. Now...
Yingling Kite.
No, Michelob Ultra. But this is slowly, low-key becoming my favorite light beer on the market right now. Have you guys see this? First of all, yeah. I love the look of the can, and it's super smooth.
I worked from home today, so I went grocery shopping because we desperately needed to. And when I went to the grocery store, I saw those. I've not had them, but the flights were right next to them, and I was like, I've had flights. I know how great they are. I was like, I'm just gonna get those. I was like, but maybe next time.
Yeah, they're so good. Maybe next I recommend time. Them highly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to one of my staff members' 70th birthday party over the weekend. There was a ton of beer there. He brought in a bunch of the leftover beer because he said he could not drink it all. So shout out Chuck, free beer.
Yeah, Chuck.
Also, thanks to Travis and his place of business, we can give our reviews of the Zwickle Lights, can we not?
The Zwickle Lights, yeah. If you have not had them, you got to get them.
Ooh.
Yeah, so even, I was going to say they're not even out yet.
I only at bars and courses and at Urban Chestnut you can find
when it. You guys started talking about that, which this is just how wild our fucking phones are. We talked about that on Saturday. I saw a post from Zwickle on their Instagram or Facebook page, one of the two. The next day they had made a post. I don't follow them. It just popped up in my feed. I'm like, this is fucking wild. But yeah, so they're advertising it too. Yeah.
Stupid the amount of stuff you get for that. But neither here nor there. College basketball season ended last night. It was a game that I'm going to be completely frank here. Bet on UConn every single game. I think I watched probably 5 minutes of their gameplay the entire tournament.
Zero. I watched zero of the championship game. I placed a $60 bet on UConn. Didn't watch single never had game. To worry I about it. Never worried about my money once. Not even they not covered once.
Every single game of the tournament. Crazy.
For the last 2 years, they're 12-0 against the spread in the tournament the last 2 years.
And their coach, I will say this, the fucking nuts on the 4 years ago when we took that job, their last game of the year 4 years ago, he said
it's coming.
He said, you better get us now because we're going to be a force here in a few years. And I've never seen a man call a shot like that since Babe Ruth. I mean, that is just wild to me.
Yeah, I think the big thing to think about with UConn now and the big debate that's going to be, and I don't think it's much of a debate, is they're a blue blood. I heard a lot of people today saying, like, are they blue bloods? Are they the new blue bloods? No, they've been blue bloods. They have the third most championships ever, and they have six in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's even a debate anymore.
It's not a debate. I mean, it's just...
Arguably the best tournament team we've seen. I mean, they dominated.
You know what's funny, though, is you could argue the last 2 years that, like, these are the best tournament teams we've seen, but they weren't even the same two teams. I heard somebody put it really, like, in a really good way today, is they didn't win, like, back-to-back. They just won two titles in a row. They put it in that way of, like, it wasn't back-to-back because it wasn't the same players coming through, like, putting it together, winning it, similar to like how Florida might have done it or UCLA back in the 70s. It was two totally different teams that just happened to be wearing the same jersey that won two titles in a row, which I think in itself is super impressive.
There were some same players though, no?
Well, yes, but I'm saying they had two guys go to the draft last year. So if you have two of your biggest players leave and then you come back and you basically have to reload with your top talent.
Right.
And put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredibly impressive. If you can place a bet and kind of not worry, like I was checking the score throughout the first half. And then when they went into the half up six, I was pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Cruise in the second half, like they did in every single game. They just ran away with it.
Imagine rolling over your money. Kind of made it fun.
Imagine winning a $2.7 million bet like Dave Portnoy did.
I saw that. $600,000. What was that pre-tournament that he posted or put it?
Yeah.
Hey, we put our pre-tournament picks in the beginning. Obviously, like 25% of the country, I said UConn, but and never back down. Never back down. Never what?
Never back down. I watched more of the women's championship game than I did the men's. That's how in the bag it was.
I didn't watch the women's championship game because I knew that was going to be. It's almost the same score. We're almost the same.
Yeah. Point I mean, it, it was almost identical. The game was closer for more of the game in the women's game, but in the end, I think this year might be the first year in God knows how long that the two best teams won at the end of it. Like they were both the number one overall seed.
And I was not very interested in either Nash championship because I knew that they were both going to be, well, I mean, kind of one-sided. Obviously, they were competitive for a little bit, as every game is, but I knew who was going to win each of them.
By the way, I'm pretty sure we nailed the line, too. If we said it was going to be UConn-Purdue, we all said it was going to be 6.5, and that's what it was. So,
yep.
It's pretty wild.
And I nailed the NC State line against Purdue.
Yeah, you did.
And so. I almost nailed UConn winning every game by 10-plus points. They let me down against Bama, but no, still pulled off and covered. Didn't they only win by 6 or 7?
They won by 12.
Yeah, because I
against Bama?
11.5.
It was 11.5.
Yeah.
What game am I thinking of? I thought there was a game they only won by 6.
They won every game by double digits.
There we go.
You probably didn't realize it because we were tailgating, got a little drunk at the Battle Hawks game this weekend. The boys and the boys women went to the game in St. Louis. 40,000 people showed out.
Insane.
Electric atmosphere. It was a hell of a time. And the game was absolutely phenomenal. Probably one of the better football games I've seen live in quite a while. Like, it was just great.
It was fun. I will say they're going to have to lean. Did you see the attendance numbers from this weekend?
No.
Not great. We had 40,000. Memphis had
More than all the other games combined.
Yeah. I think the next
close one was similar to like that last year. A lot of times because we played on the games in St. Louis whenever like the other lower markets played at home too. So like those weeks we were just carrying.
Yeah. I think
Michigan, I don't know what it was like week one.
I think Michigan and Memphis had like 7,000 and 8,000. Who else was the home team this weekend? Oh, DC. DC had 15, which DC usually always shows out because they have a soccer stadium and it looks crowded.
I was going to say, it doesn't help that they're playing in NFL stadiums.
Yeah. Well, we did too. And we didn't think the Upper Bowl was open because all the Upper Bowl tickets were behind us, which I didn't realize till after we got home. And I looked at all like
tweets. I was saying that how they were like right up above us, but still. Pretty impressive. I think every team could benefit by playing in a soccer stadium or a smaller stadium of that.
Well, would St. Louis City even hold 40,000 people?
No.
Yeah.
I think that capacity is like 21,000 or something.
So it'd actually be, it's beneficial for us to actually play in the dome then.
Well, for us, because they have that many people showing up to the game.
Yeah.
But for other cities that don't have that, maybe look into smaller venues. Yeah. But either way,
because it looks fuller,
Either way, the product was great. The game was much better than week one. A lot of exciting plays. So if you have a team that you want to root for, pick one, tune in. It can be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think so. And the guy from the kick from Michigan is going to have an NFL job. No doubt about it. No doubt in my mind.
Without a doubt. I mean, 260-plus yarders in back-to-back weeks.
That's only ever been done once. I can't remember who it was. Oh, I saw the tweet, but it was a guy in the NFL who hit, like, back-to-back 60 yarders in, like, 15-16, the 15-16 season back-to-back weeks.
It feels and like
Brandon McManus.
It was McManus. It was, yep. It was McManus, back-to-back.
No, probably was in Denver.
60 yarders back in the day, but.
Yeah.
McManus. But back-to-back though. Back-to-back weeks is insane. Yeah.
In Denver, probably.
Yeah.
That's probably the only reason why. But either way, it was a good weekend. We had a good time. Lots more to come. We have a pretty loaded weekend coming up this weekend with UFC 300 and the Masters kicking off. We'll kick it off with some Masters talk. It's not going to last longer than UFC. Obviously, great tradition every year. I've never personally gotten to go to the Masters if I do ever get the chance. Something that you're not going to be able to pass up on. Before we talk about this year's Masters, it's a little Travis's trivia extravaganza this week. Doing some trivia for the boys. Got 7 questions for you guys. And don't have a graphic. Like I said, internet was down at work. Couldn't really do a whole lot today. I don't expect you guys to get these. They're more of like fun factual things. Some questions might be two parts. The other questions that you don't get are one part. If you get it wrong, you have to drink. There are a couple questions where I will throw in a curveball where if you get both parts right, I will finish a beer.
Okay.
Fun stuff. All right.
We're going to suck.
First question is part of that stipulation. What is the highest score to par? So not the best, the worst score to par to win the Masters, and who did it?
Oh my God. Jesus fucking Mary.
Score to par.
I will say you do know the golfer. He's not the most popular, but you know the golfer.
Ethan, I'm going to say it's probably like a 76 or 73. No.
Well, it's over four rounds. So like what it is to par. So
I feel like it still has to be, I feel like it has to be under par. So I'm going to say like, but I'm going to say it's like maybe like one or two under. There's no way somebody finished the Masters over par in one. That's a thing.
I think they did one year. I think two over par. And was it?
If we know each get, the person. So is it recent? Can I ask if it's post 2010?
It is pre 2010.
Okay.
But he still golfs.
Well, that doesn't mean shit.
That gives me. I mean, it could be Phil. It could be Bubba Watson.
It's not Bubba because
now it's Tiger.
Pretty insane round when he won his.
Well, for starters, if you want to lock in above par, I don't want to go more than two over. So why don't we lock that in?
Two over, yeah. I'm gonna say two over.
Is one over.
He should have given us within a stroke.
Yeah.
Is it? I see. Part of me wants to say Bubba Watson though. Now,
no, Bubba Watson. He won post 2010. He won post 2010.
A couple times.
Were they both 2014?
Yeah, both 2010 posts.
And I feel like it's Phil or I'm trying to think of who else still golfs that was pre 2010 outside of Tiger, and I don't think it was Tiger. He won a 97. Right,
I will give you a hint. If you know it, great. I'm not going to finish my beer because I'm giving you too many hints now. This man was the captain of the Ryder Cup team for Team USA this past year.
I don't know who that was.
Fuck. Was Dustin Johnson the captain? Well, no, they were. He's live golf.
It was Zach Johnson.
It was Zach Johnson.
Mm.
Yep. That's what
it was Zach Johnson. And it was the year 2007 in which Tiger to win the Masters was his line to win was minus 125.
Wow. That's actually crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. You guys take a drink.
I did. Right.
Yep. Okay.
On to the next one. Now we're going to go flip side. What is the lowest score to par to win the Masters? I will finish half of my beer if you can get both right, the score and the person to do it. I'll give you a hint here. I will even give you a better hint. It is post 2012.
The score, I think it was insane. It was like 14 under, I think.
Trying to think of who's won post 2012. You've got, well, recently you got Matsuyama, Scheffler, obviously Bubba Watson twice, Tiger. I don't remember.
Pardon me. I think that second time Bubba Watson won, I'm pretty sure he ran away with it. I know the first time he won was super close when he had hit out of the pine straw with that insane shot.
Or was it, I feel like Travis, and you can tell me right away if I'm just pulling a name out of my ass here, but did Sergio Garcia win the Masters?
He did in 2017. And then he named his daughter Azalea.
Nice. I, for some reason, thought it was him, but now based on that reaction, I feel like it's not. Because I feel like he'd have been like, that's who it is.
Let's lock in the score. I think
lock in the score.
Sure. 14 under.
It was previously 18 under Jordan Spieth tied that record in 2015. Dustin Johnson broke it with 20 under in 2020.
As soon as I said that, I was like, I think 20 under was like a, because yeah,
that is wild.
Yeah,
you're shooting a 67 all 4 days.
All right. Now next question, a little bit different, and this is like this article was written a few years ago, so it may have changed a little bit. So don't come coming at me in the comments. I doubt anyone would. This average number of bogeys the Masters champions make in 4 rounds.
Oof. Average, so like, or just total amount of bogeys over the whole weekend.
Like the average number of bogeys that every Masters champion, think about collecting an average, has made in all 4 rounds, like combined.
So I feel like
for sure it's at least 1 round.
If we're thinking, well, I think it's probably more than that. If we're thinking that an average champion score is probably somewhere between 8 and 10 under par. That means in my head per round, they're probably making like two. An average of like 2 bogeys a round, which would put it at 8.
I don't think that would be a little high. I was going to say, yeah. What about 6?
Let's ride. Part of me now wants to meet in the middle. Do we do 7? Do we have do we have to go to the decimal?
7. No, it's not. It's an even number.
Okay. 7.
Let's ride 7.
It is 9.
Oh, wow. Wrong way. Wrong way. Yeah. My logic there was flowing, though.
All right. I got you boys a true or false question here. Could be a trick question, could not be a trick question. Tiger Woods has never led after round one of the Masters. True or false?
I feel like that's a trick question, so I'm going to say true.
I feel like the reason I feel like it's more likely true than false is because 4-day tournament, you can start slow and still pull away at the end. Like you don't have.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of. I mean, this also could be statistically incorrect, but I feel like a lot of guys who lead at the let me rephrase. I feel like that there is there's not likely that there is a golfer that leads the entire tournament. I'll put it there. So I'm going to say true as well.
It is true. Cheers to that.
Hell yeah. I'm already out of beer.
All right. We'll go get you another one.
All right. Filler time.
Okay. I've got
Charles Schwartzel.
Three more questions left. No Charles Schwartzel questions are in this one, by the way. Three more. These are there's one that's should be gettable. The other two might be a little bit tough.
Okay.
Let's see
what you got.
Next, who is the youngest player ever to make the cut at the Masters? Not who. What age was the youngest player ever to make the cut at the Masters?
It was an amateur, obviously. Numerous amateurs have made the cut, right? Or how has an amateur made the cut? Okay.
Yeah, an amateur place like top 30 last year.
I want to say 18.
I want to say 16. I feel like there's just got to be some wild fucking like dude in high school like comes out and just has a really good round. But 18 is probably more realistic. How young was Tiger? I mean, he came out really young and he didn't even miss a cut until like fucking forever. I think he like didn't miss a cut after his like first 30 some majors.
I'm down 16.
All right, 16, your final answer. In 2013, a 14-year-old kid made the cut at the Masters.
Oh my God. Who was it?
I don't know the name, right? Yeah.
I saw his name, didn't even try to pronounce it. I don't think he ever became much.
Some Asian.
But crazy. Yeah, it was an Asian kid, actually.
Yeah.
I think he was definitely a not American kid. Yeah. All right, boys. This is probably the most gettable, should be gettable. Don't embarrass me. Which three holes make up Amen Corner?
At Augusta. 15, 16, 17?
Sure.
Or 10, 11, 12. It's one of the two. God.
It's 10, 11, 12. It's the second one.
Which one do you guys want to go with, or do you guys want to change it?
I always know aiming corners right in the middle, right in the middle.
I'm good with 10, 11, 12. I feel like it was one of the two, so.
So close. 11, 12, 13.
Damn. I know it's right in the middle of the course.
All right, and I've got one last question for you. How many players have broken 70 in all four rounds of their Masters weekend?
Jesus Christ.
Well, like Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Whoever the fuck else.
Travis's face. Travis. He didn't do it. He didn't do it.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Travis's face.
I'm still counting it because we're doing numbers here. We're not doing names. So I'm going to count that as just somebody so we can kind of get our heads flown of who scored really well in the tournament. Whoever the fuck.
Tiger's done it before. So if he did it more than once, would that count as one person?
Probably, yes.
If someone's
done Tiger it more twice, it's not two people.
How many golfers?
Golfers. So if someone did it twice, it would. Okay. So I know Tiger's done it. I'm down with Dustin Johnson.
I'm just thinking of like, it's not even just winners, right? Like there can be people that break 70, obviously, and not win. So
break 70, shoot and under 70. So
history,
you
right?
You have to shoot three under in every round of the tournament.
Yeah, and this is history, correct?
It's probably gonna be an astronomical number that we're not even close to getting.
I want to say like, I don't even know though. I want to say like 41.
I was gonna say like 38.
All of history. It's in the hundreds, okay. Isn't it?
Ready?
Yeah.
Probably in the thousands. One?
One golfer. Cam Smith.
Last year?
It was in 2020 when he lost to Dustin Johnson.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. One golfer.
Ever. It insane. Had never been done until he did it.
And that's crazy with the fact that dudes are shooting 20 under, 18 under, like
just one big round of like 7 or 8.
That's what I'm saying. You get like 64. Yeah,
Dustin Johnson shot a 70 in round two that year. He had to break 70.
That's crazy.
Gotcha.
Crazy though, right?
Yeah.
There's your Masters tribute for you guys.
Yeah, I knew we were gonna fucking bomb that. Like.
I mean, that's tough. It was tough. I told Ethan whenever he hopped on before you got on, he was like, so how hard is this going to be? I was like, I'm not expecting you guys to get him right. It's more of just like fun trivia.
I was like mentally preparing for it to be something along the lines of like, name all of the Masters winners that have won multiple times. And so I was like, oh, I can do that. I didn't look it up, but in my head, I was like, obviously Tiger, Phil, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Bubba Watson.
Watson.
Yeah.
Charles Schwartzel. Charles Schwartzel won twice. No. I thought he did one year. He was making he almost did.
I don't think so. Maybe he
there, did, there are probably some names on there. I don't know, but I knew there were some obvious ones.
Yeah.
I didn't look that up, but anyway, Masters weekend, probably one of, obviously probably the most watched golf tournament of the year. Very exciting time. Starting on Thursday, the course this year will play at 7,555 yards, the longest it has played in tournament history. Obviously, as clubs get more technologically advanced, you got to account for that with the course. Does anyone have any players they like to place in top certain amount to win, to make the cut, to not make the cut? Anything of the above?
I didn't look at anything.
No. I have some top 20s, top 10, and then I have just a guy that I'm going to bet on to win just for the value of some of the looks that I did today. And then, Travis, you can tell me if I'm crazy or not, because I know that you're way more in depth with this. But I'll start with my first one. It is a top 20 finish. It is and I apologize because – this could just be me being really stereotypical or me completely forgetting what his first name is, but is it Hideki Matsuyama?
It is Hideki Matsuyama.
Thank God. Okay. I was like, I'm going to sound like an idiot if it's not Hideki. but Hideki Matsuyama, top 20. It's minus 140, so the value is not super great, but he has finished top 25 in the last four Masters tournaments that he's played in. And I feel like top that 16. He's somebody who's just super consistent up there towards the top, even if he doesn't win. So that was one of that I like top 20.
I like that. However, every single time I bet on Hideki, he does horrible. Every single time I fade him, he is the greatest golfer to ever walk the planet Earth. Same with Scotty Scheffler.
Facts.
Scotty,
no.
You have another top 20.
Do what?
You have another top 20, or is that it?
I do. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't know if we were going back and forth or not. The only other top 20 I have is Cam Young, top 20, plus 150. He finished seventh last year. He has four top 10 major finishes. Kind of been hot with the putter during his major rounds, and I feel like that will stay consistent here. Top 20 again, super gettable, and for plus odds, I didn't want to pass it up.
There you go, Jared. Get your phone away from the mic. I have a mystery made cut parlay, so you could be rolling into Saturday with some cashola if you like that. It is Hideki Matsuyama, Cam Smith, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Reed, and Victor Hovland. All those guys to make the cut is plus 191. I'm probably going to throw close to $100 on that play. All of those guys have made the cut in their last five, dating back 5 years. Every time they've appeared in the Masters, they have made the cut.
Which one's missing? Patrick Reed.
No, he usually plays Augusta really well. Honestly, I hate to say it. If I had to pick one to miss, it'd be Cam Smith. He just came off a bout. He had to withdraw after round one of Live Miami last week because he got food poisoning. But hopefully this 5 days to recover.
Yeah, flush yourself out.
Yeah.
You're good to go. Throw it all
up. Drink some fluids.
Empty your system. Drink some fluids. You're good to go.
So that is my big play of the weekend.
I like it. You had two of my guys in there, so that I already mentioned, which was great.
Who you got next?
I have two more plays.
So I had Cam Smith, not Cam Young. Do you have Cam Young or Cam Smith?
It was Cam Young. Sorry. You're right. Okay. You're right. I did have Cam Young, but I heard Cam and in my brain I was like, yes. All right, I got two more plays. I'll just roll off my first one. It is a top 10 finish. I told Travis this like a week ago. I was betting on Wyndham Young to win it just because the odds were super crazy. I'm not doing that here. Playing it a little more safe. Wyndham Clark, we were talking about Cam Young, is top three in driving distance and par five scoring this year. He's first timer at Augusta, but he has played Augusta twice before, just not in the Masters, and played pretty well. I know first timer, you know, you can be jitters, you're not used to the course, but the fact that he is used to the course in some capacity, has been playing super hot right now on the PGA Tour. I'm going to take a top 10 finish at plus 300.
Don't hate that. He's been playing some lights out golf as of lately. I've got two guys that I didn't want to include in my make the cut parlay because their odds were a little bit like closer to even and didn't feel like juicing it up that much. I've got Gary Woodland to make the cut along with Bubba Watson. Gary Woodland's minus 110. Bubba Watson's only minus 125 to make the cut here. Guys that have been around Augusta, all about course management there. I know they've missed their fair share of cuts over the last 5, 6, 7 years, but at those odds, basically to play two decent rounds of golf, give it to me with that. Don't have a whole lot of top 20, top 30s. I've been getting kind of screwed with those. If you're going to place a top 20 or 30 bet, do so on Bovada or an offshore account because they typically include ties in their wins. DraftKings, all those mainstream accounts, they go off the dead heat rule. So if you have a guy, say, to place top 20, and he is tied for 16th, but nine guys are tied for 16th, then your odds diminish like insanely. Like at that point, you might just be winning your money back. So if you want to do that, bet that on Bovada. Usually they include ties. I'll just go outright winner. But you got an outright winner, don't you?
I do, but you go with yours.
Nope, I want to hear yours first.
Fair enough. I have some statistics to back this one up. It is, and again, it's not somebody – who's odds on favorite. I like the value here. I took Xander Schauffele at plus 1400 to win. He has three top tens at Augusta. He has more top tens than missed cuts in every major that he has played. Nine of the past 11 Masters winners have gained at least 1.7 strokes tee to green per round in the 3 months leading into the tournament. There are only two golfers that fit that bill this year. It is Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler. So the fact that one of them is the odds on favorite and then the other one is plus 1400, I decided to go with the one that was plus 1400 and who is not shit in the bed with 5 foot putts. So took Xander Schauffele. I like the value there. The fact that you have somebody who fits upwards of 90% of the past 11 tournament winners in those statistics and is one of only two golfers to do it. I wanted to take a flyer on that.
Scottie Scheffler, one of us. One of us.
Yeah, he's one of many of the municipal golf course guys rolling around the greens because he but if one thing is if he can get the putter rolling, he will destroy the field and there's no doubt about it. Yep. Naturally, I will not bet on him and he will do that. So if you want to take a safe play or hedge an outright winner, put a little bit of money on Scotty. Decent. Yep. I'm going with a live guy. I've thought over the last few weeks that with all the speculation, all the hate, everything, that a live guy is going to win this tournament.
Is it Rom?
It's not Rom. Ah. I don't think he's going to go back to back. His putter didn't impress me much over the last tournament in Live Miami. I'm going with a guy, deep odds, sprinkle a little bit on him. I'm going with Tyrrell Hatton at plus 5,500 to win.
Nice. I'm going to be honest. I don't even know if I know who that is.
Yeah, he's a little Irish guy, right? Or Scottish, one of the two.
He's from England.
Is he just straight up from England?
I think he's just straight up English. But yeah, just a little short nice. English guy who's been around a while. Should know the game, know the course. Just got a hunch. It's going to be a live guy, and I like Cam Smith. I like DJ too much to be solely biased and bet on them. DJ hasn't been playing great golf. People are going to bet on Brooks a lot this year because you know how Brooks is in major tournaments. He only has one top 10 finish in Live this season. He's coming off a plus or seven over performance at Live Miami. His driving accuracy has been less than stellar. I just don't think he gets it done this week. So if you're looking for Brooks Koepka, maybe see how he does in round one first.
Well, yeah, man, he just had a kid. He can't be hitting the slopes, and that's when he was doing so well. So
the cocaine.
Yeah.
All right. He's so been, there's your Masters talk. It sounds like Jared had little to no Masters research heading in tonight, which is totally fine. He'll just ride the picks we give him.
I liked Ethan's stat that he pulled out of his bag with the how
I did. I liked that one a lot too. I was
1.2.
So
was very impressive.
I saw a TikTok about it today, and I was like, I gotta go look up what this means. And so I was just like looking, and I was like, you know, it's like average tee to green, and like how quickly they get there with their strokes. And I was like, the fact that only two guys meet that bill this year when there's what 80 some people in the Masters field. I was like, shit, I want to take a flyer on Xander. He's never won the Masters. I don't think Xander's ever won a major. Has he?
He has not. He is very, very, very prone to choking his ass off down the stretch.
So he's due
horribly.
And real fast, what I was going to say is,
or due to piss you off.
Who won Valero this week?
It was, Akshay Bhatia.
What are his odds to make the cut? Because that was just like a good story, right? And I'm curious if he runs it into this week and has a good couple rounds.
It's a great story. I meant to go look at it. I didn't. I'm looking it up now. The reason I didn't is because it kind of made me nervous. I feel like a lot of people are going to be putting that money on him because of how well he's been playing lately.
It's minus 280. I just saw it. That's not even worth it.
What scared me about him is that he was just milking that shoulder injury so much. I don't know if you guys saw that, but he like in the playoff hole after Denny McCarthy put his in the water, he was like grabbing his shoulders, like, oh, I gotta go get this taped up, and like made him all wait, went and got his shoulder taped up, and then hit the green because they said he dislocated it on after fist bumping making his putt on the 18th hole.
Bro,
and then, I don't know.
Get the fuck out of here.
He is very good, though.
Hockey players skate with broken ankles, and he can't fucking swing a golf club with a dislocated shoulder. Get the fuck out of here.
Could you?
Yeah.
Could you?
Also,
that's like, so you're allowed to take a timeout with your fucking shoulder taped up?
With the dislocated shoulder, he drove the ball 300 yards straight down the fairway on the playoff hole.
Yeah. I'm like fucking buying it.
I think he just wanted a little bit of extra support. So that makes me a little nervous if that starts bothering him, and that just kind of plays into the factor of how he's doing. Might take a flyer on him.
Yeah, I love Tiger, but I did consider taking a flyer on him to miss the cut. It's favorite at -140, unfortunately, but the dude's not himself, and he's coming off of all of these injuries, and I mean we say it every year, right? And sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad, but
He ain't fucking this week. So you see that Travis's face?
That.
No,
he's abstaining from sex to hone in on his focus.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's just not voluntarily. I just, if he makes the cut, he will be riding that cut line. And then, again, it left a bad taste in my mouth because I bet it last year, and they had the rain delay. They came back out on Saturday. He made the cut and then withdrew from the tournament. After making the cut, I was like, you motherfucker. You just fucked me so hard. Could not have just withdrawn beforehand and then made me win my bet. So, but I don't think he does too terribly well this weekend, unfortunately, for all you Tiger lovers. But there's the Masters. We will see how it goes. Follow all of our plays on Twitter. But we're going to head into UFC 300 talk. Biggest card ever. All right. UFC 300, the card that we've kind of all been waiting for a while, is taking place this weekend. So let's kick it off because we've got some bangers coming to you guys. The first fight of the night. Cody Garbrandt, Davidson Figueiredo. This
is insane.
This is one of the highest odds fight on the night in terms of favorite to underdog, but it's going to be a banger. As much as I want to bet on Cody, I don't know if I can do so confidently.
No, I can't do so confidently, but I'm also not going to bet on Figueiredo. And this is wild. This is like the fight that opens up the card. Like this to me screams like any other card. This is like first card on the main card or like a featured prelim. About when it's kicking off, it starts at 5. I mean, it's a good chance that we might not even be able to see it, but we'll see. I mean,
the total on rounds is at 1.5, too, which makes it even tougher to bet.
Yeah, it does because I don't know. Figgy's jumping up to 135. I think this might be his second fight there, or is it his first fight there?
He's moving up. I thought Cody was moving, or Cody's already moved.
Yeah. Well, Cody's fighting at 135. He's always fought. He moved down to 125 and then came back up to 135.
Right. Mm. So he's moving up. Maybe.
I think it's his first fight there. I know moving up isn't as big as moving down, but in terms of like the weight cut and everything.
By way of MMA math, I know styles make fights, but he beat Rob Font. Cody Garbrandt lost to Rob Font. Both by decision. Yeah. It just seems that Figgy is able to steer away from danger a lot of his fights. He's only been finished twice, which is really where Cody shines.
Yeah.
I mean, he only has 3 decision wins in his career.
One of them was recently. He's coming off back-to-back wins. I know everyone's going to look at Cody and think he's out of this fight because he had that tough run after he fought roided out PED Love and TJ Dillashaw and kind of went on a little bit of a slump there, but he's won 2 in a row. It wasn't against the best competition with Trevin Jones. He went the distance with Trevin Jones, won that fight, got in some danger there, was able to pull out, and then beat Brian Kelleher, knocked him out in the first round. I know those aren't like fantastic names, but I think he shouldn't be looked past because of those. Whereas Figgy's jumping up a weight class, and I mean, if you really look at it, like, I don't think Figgy's run against Moreno is as impressive as everyone thinks. I think he very easily could have lost all 3 fights That one decision where he beat Moreno, like, I think you could look at that fight again and argue that he could have lost it. And that's what made his career essentially. So I am not going to put, like, although I know a lot of people are probably going to put Figgy in a parlay piece.
Put him in a parlay.
I don't know. I want Cody.
I said I won't.
Oh no, I'm not going to put him in parlay. I want Cody to win, so I'm bet on Cody. This is more of like a, I'm not going to take Figgy to win -300 in a parlay to ruin my night on a first fight. I'd rather root for the dog and root for Cody to win and kind of make that. Because if Cody beats Figgy here, he's back in the top 10 and he's going to start making a run up the ladder. But we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just saying, I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm also curious. You've got two fighters who are definitely not used to being the first fight of the night. And I'm curious who that benefits more.
Cody says pumped about it.
Cody.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. Like, if you think about it, you know, you're the first fighter out, you don't have to wait around. You're probably pumped up to get the night started. And I feel like Cody is probably that guy, especially as the underdog, to come out and make a statement early on in one of the biggest UFC cards. That's kind of the way I looked at it. And I was like, I know that there's no statistics to back that up. There's no, like, you know, actual fight evidence that says, like, hey, like, because they're fighting the first fight of the night, but these are two fighters that literally never do. So I think it's got to benefit somebody here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only issue comes for me is that Cody's only won 3 fights by decision. I think he's only ever been stopped. They call it a TKO, a doctor stoppage. So he's never been truly finished inside the octagon ever. So it's just tough. The path for him is small, but I will bet on him because I think Figueiredo has, you know, maybe some more obstacles to overcome. Fighting early on the card, going up a weight class, going up against somebody who, I mean, he's seen the speed, don't get me wrong, but maybe he's not seen the striking speed of Cody Garbrandt.
I think the strength, too, like, he's been fighting 125ers, and, like, those guys probably don't pack a punch like Cody and some of these 135ers can. I think that's something you can't look past also.
He fought Rob Font, though, so he took some punches from him.
Yeah, I think at 125. Or did he fight Rob Font? Was that his first fight at 135? That was his
first fight at Bantamweight.
Okay. But I like Ethan's point being, because, like, they asked Cody Garbrandt, like, how do you feel, like, you know, being a guy who's, like, been there? Like, Figgy's really only ever fought main cards and main events. Like, I think he's probably hasn't been on prelims in a long time. Cody has been recently because he's kind of been climbing his way back up, trying to, you know, the UFC's trying to get him back into the fold. He even said today, he was, I love it. He was, I get up early anyway. This means I can get to the arena. This is in Vegas time. So I can get to the arena at 1, do a warm-ups, fight at 3, be done, get out of the way. It's nice to know that they put me first, because that means to me that they think I'm going to be able to put asses in seats from the first fight, is what he said. Whereas a lot of times you don't see people start trickling until middle of the prelims or that featured prelim going into the main card. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and he might be kind of have a little chip on his shoulder because of that. So
his last prelim fight came in October of 2019 against Tim Elliott. Then he went on a run of 7 title fights in a row, and then was on the main card of the Rob Font fight.
So Figgy hasn't been on prelims since 2019.
Yes.
Wow.
In 8 fights.
It's a long time.
It was a long time. So, all right, we have the same one there. Next up, we go Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. Jim Miller has fought on UFC 100, UFC 200, and now UFC 300. He not only is a journeyman, but has been on a heater too. He has 5 finishes in his last 6 fights and gets done everywhere. Bobby Green can also be dangerous, but we've seen him get knocked out as well.
Yeah.
What do you guys got?
Miller's competition level to me is gross of who he's actually fought in those last 5 fights. I mean, no one really is looking at that. They jumped out to him.
I think Donald Cerrone.
Okay. 2022 Donald Cerrone, right? This is
post. A win's a win. You're getting into an octagon with a man. A win is a win.
Here, what we're Bob, where I'm leaning Bobby Green. I know it's high juice, but I like Bobby Green here. Because I think Bobby Green would probably be, I believe, on a 3-fight win streak. I think he could have beaten Jalen. He was beating Jalen Turner, like dominating Jalen Turner in that last fight. Made some mistakes, got too over-aggressive, and Jalen Turner knocked him out. Because you can't overcompensate.
Dominate him in 1.5 minutes? He got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, I know. But like early on in that fight, it looked like he had – you and I were watching that, Travis. We're like, you know, Bobby Green's going to beat him, and then Jalen Turner turned around. I think, to me, Bobby Green is the more dangerous knockout artist, but you said Jim Miller can get it done anywhere. I don't see Jim Miller knocking out Bobby Green per se, but I could see him taking him to the ground and maybe riding him out. Just gut tells me I'm not going to go two dogs to start the card. So that's why I lean Bobby Green. I know it's a lot of juice, but I like him to win this one. Not in the parlay piece, though, at all.
I don't have a lot of dogs. Like, I'm not confident in the Cody one. This one I'm not super confident in, but I like the juice at just plus 150 for Jim Miller. I think he's got a lot of motivation going into this fight. Like I said, winning five of his last six via finish. If he feels like he can't get it done on the feet, he's going to be able to take him down. He's a much more accomplished wrestler. So I'm leaning Jim Miller.
I got nothing on this card.
All right.
On this fight.
We got Jessica Andrade and Marina Rodriguez. I think I've been on the wrong side of every Jessica Andrade fight in the last 5 years. Dead ass. But she's coming off of a big knockout win against Mackenzie Dern. She has the age advantage by 4 years. I think Mackenzie Dern, nothing to be like, no slouch at all. Obviously, I'm riding the hot hand here with Andrade at minus 135.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. It's hard not to take. That's what I said. It's hard not to take the more seasoned fighter here. Jessica Andrade. I think she got back in the win column against Dern in November. If she's coming to this fight not having a win in a couple of fights, I'd be a little worried. But I think that was just the confidence and juice she needed to get back on the horse a little bit. I mean, this is a girl that's fought the best of the best, and given the best of the best, a run for the money. You know, Amanda Nunes, people like that. Like, she's fought these people and actually given them good fights. Like, I don't know if I can say that about who she's fighting. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head because I just have Andrade Rodriguez. Yeah, I don't think she can go and give Nunez or people like that a run for the money. And Andrade did back in the day. Getting back in that win column was huge for her.
Marina Rodriguez, her resume is no joke. She beat Mackenzie Dern by decision, Yan Xiaonan by decision, who is fighting for a title on this card. But then she turned around, got knocked out by Lemos, lost to Jandaroba, and then came back in September and beat Michelle Gomez by knockout. But still, not nearly the quality of career that Andrade has had.
Yeah, I think the big thing for Andrade is keeping her distance and attacking when she finds holes, because Marina has, what, like a 3-inch leg reach and a 3-inch reach in general or something like that. And she's got 5 inches of height on her. So I think as long as Andrade, and again, you talked about it, going back to being a seasoned vet and fighting the best of the best, she knows that. She knows that she's going to have to pick and choose where she attacks, kind of keep her distance. I wouldn't be surprised if this one with the distance, which I'm assuming is probably the overwhelming favorite anyways. But I think as long as she does that, I think she'll be fine.
It's actually not the crazy big favorite as compared to most women fights. The over 2.5 is minus 175. I feel like if Andrade gets it done, she stands a little bit of a threat on the feet, but she'll probably get done by decision. I think if Marina wins, I think she'll just catch Andrade and put her out. Likely.
Fair enough.
Unfortunately. Next fight, Jalen Turner versus Renato Money Moicano. A little bit of a juice right here. Jalen Turner's minus 245. I have him in one of my parlays. I just cannot stand Renato Moicano. I cannot stand the guy.
I know you can't. He is. I mean, the only blemishes on his record are some dogs, though.
You talk about resume, though, and his resume is nothing impressive. He lost to RDA. He beat Drew Dober by decision because he was afraid to get caught. Jalen Turner's resume is much better, even his losses. You want to count his losses. He went to a split decision with Gamrot and Hooker.
Yeah. The reach advantage here is huge for Jalen Turner. He's going to have to use that to keep that, because Moicano is dangerous on the ground. 56% of his wins come by sub. And I know Jalen Turner is out, though. He's never knocked anybody out. Yeah, Jalen Turner is no joke on the ground either. So I feel like if it comes down to it, like Jalen Turner is probably the more well-rounded fighter. I just think he's got to be careful about getting one of those legs caught, getting tripped up, taken down. I didn't really love his side in this fight. I don't have Turner in a parlay. I don't have Turner straight up. You know, Moicano at the plus 195 is going to be enticing for a lot of people. I would almost lean the over in this fight. It's not out there yet.
One and a half at minus 115.
Then, yeah, that's my bet. There you go. I couldn't find anywhere. Boom. That's my bet right there.
I also have Jalen Turner in LA as well. I just think the reach advantage, the height advantage, the fact that Renato, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Renato
has never knocked anybody out. If he keeps this on his feet, like you said, Jarrett, I don't think he stands a chance. If it gets to the ground, the thing is Jalen Turner can hold his own too. But if this is on its feet, I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, and I think go ahead, Trev.
Go ahead. I was going to say the over 1.5 is enticing, but Jalen Turner has won every single fight inside distance. So it's just a matter of when he could get it done if he does win.
Yeah. I almost like the over 1.5, like as a straight up in this fight. Just think, because I do think Moicano's going to play it very safe and try to, like Ethan said, like be like Andrade, pick his spots, try to pick an ankle or something, take him down to the ground. Whether it's successful or not, it still eats up time inside the octagon. But I do think Jalen Turner will eventually probably pick him apart. Wasn't confident enough for me to put in a parlay, but I can definitely see you toss him in one for sure.
Okay. Let me write a note here so I don't forget it. All right. Next up, we've got Sadiq Youssef and Diego Lopez. I am going to ride Diego Lopez until the wheels fall off of this man.
This is one of my biggest bets of the night. And it may sound stupid to a lot of people, but this is one of my favorite bets of the night.
At minus 140. He's no joke. He's a good fighter, don't get me wrong. 13-3. But when you look at Diego Lopez, he was thrown into the fire against Evloev and really made that fight closer than what it should have been at last minute notice. And then he comes out, gets two finishes in a row, minus 140. I mean, the dude's an animal.
Yeah, that's what I said. His ground game is insane. If this goes to the ground, it's game over. Like Lopez is going to finish him on the ground. And Youssef's takedown defense is only at 60%. So he's not amazing at stopping takedowns. Like I know anything over 50 is generally pretty good, but that means if Diego Lopez shoots, six times in the first round, he's going to take him down four. Generally is kind of what we're sorry. Three is what we're kind of thinking about there. I think Lopez gets this done. 52% of his wins are by sub. I would love a bonus bet of him to win by sub too, but Diego Lopez might be one of my biggest bets of the night. And that sounds probably silly coming out of my mouth, but that's kind of how I feel.
I don't have anything on this fight specifically, but as you guys know, I think every time we talk about UFC, I always have something completely unrelated to say about one of these fights. And my thing that I wanted to say about this fight on this card is that Diego Lopez might have the most punchable face of all time based on his UFC photo. He looks like a mixture of Drake Bell and Bryce from 13 Reasons Why. If you just put them together and they had a baby. When I saw this fight, I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about either of these dudes. This is one of the fights I just stayed away from. But I was like, my God, that dude has a punchable face.
Dude, everyone makes a joke. Every time he has the emo haircut, everyone always tweets out his picture and says, tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
It looks like early 2000s Drake Bell, and then his face looks like Bryce. I forget his last name, the dude from 13 Reasons Why. I don't even know what his real name is, but looks like those two combined.
That's if he doesn't very win, much see that
he'll be Jared's 13th reason why.
Exactly. And then he's gonna chase the rest of the night. So Diego, please. Next match: Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison. Kayla making her first UFC fight coming over from the PFL. I mean, this girl is just jacked beyond all.
She's insane.
And she's minus Holm
coming back from the grave to fight her.
Exactly. Yeah. She's gonna put it right back in it. Kayla Harrison, no other way to bet it other than in a parlay.
Yeah. That's well said.
So there you have it. Next, Calvin Kattar Aljo lame, Sterling, Aljo moving up to featherweight. First fight there, minus 170. This one, the juice is a little heavy, heavier than I'd like on Aljo. But Calvin, on the other hand, he's lost three of his last four fights. I know it's been to tough competition. He lost to Max Holloway, Josh Emmett, Arnold Allen. But you can't deny the talent that Aljo has.
This is my second biggest bet of the night. I know I'm going to say that in the back-to-back ones. But because Aljo was always a big 135-er. He always had trouble making weight. I think 145 is going to be a much more natural weight class for him. And I think he's going to fucking make – he's going to punk Calvin Kattar. I think he's going to punk him from the jump. So I'm going to be close. Calvin Kattar doesn't have the punching power that Sean O'Malley has to knock him out. He doesn't have the wrestling chops to hang up with Aljo. I can see Aljo probably taking him down 7-8 times throughout this three-round fight.
That's what I was going to say. If he takes a hit from him, because it's his first fight at 145, he takes a hit, he's like, "Ooh, I didn't really like that." He can pretty much work whatever position he wants on the ground.
Yeah, this is going to be a slaughter. I mean, this is literally a fight. This is a fight for Aljo to beat a guy that's ranked in the – he's ranked top 10. He's 8, right? 7 or 8, Kattar is.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is literally a fight for Aljo to beat a guy in the top 10 and just make his way up through the 145 ranks. That's literally all this is.
Well, Toba's chin is still there after the Sean O'Malley fight.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I had Aljo as a lay piece as well. I didn't have anything else other than that on it. I will say this fight and the fight before it are going to make or break Jarrett's night, apparently. So he's either going to be feeling real good or he's going to be feeling real bad and chasing for the rest of the night. For
this is what's going to happen. If Diego Lopez loses, he's going to double down on Aljo and really freak out throughout the Kayla Harrison Holly Holm fight. And then his night will be riding on the a prelim fight.
So we'll see. I love it. Goes. I love it because a lot of the main card fights, I don't feel overly confident about a ton of them, but these two, for whatever reason,
you didn't want to bet Bo Nickel at minus 3,000 not to jump.
I don't want to talk about that fight. I don't want to talk about it, to be honest with you.
All right.
We'll get there.
Next up is the featured prelim bout, who was literally a man that was the ex-light heavyweight champion just 5 months ago, was the main event 5 months ago. Now he's a featured fight on the prelims. It is Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rakic. I didn't even do a whole lot of research into this because
I got you.
There's just one guy. No, because I didn't want to, because I'm just riding my gut here, and it's Jiří plus 100.
Yeah, you have to bet Jiří at plus odds. What came down to for me was Rakic's inactivity. He hasn't fought since May of 2022, coming off that knee injury. And that 2 years, almost 2 years to the day. Jiří's only loss is to Alex Pereira, however the fuck you want to say. I'm going to call him Poetan for the rest of the night. And looking at Poetan, like, he might be one of the fucking most dangerous men I've ever seen in the octagon in terms of like knockout power. And that happened with Jiří Procházka. That's the only guy he's lost to inside the UFC. He does have one loss. I think Jiří, what is that his only loss though, Travis? Yeah, I'm thinking
four losses.
Four?
But only one in the UFC.
And one UFC. That's
his last one came in 2015, so it was 9 years ago.
Yeah. I just think this fight is Yuri's again path to get that rematch with Poetan. If Poetan wins on the main card, we'll talk about that. I love it. Like, this is not my next biggest favorite, but it is. I will be betting heavy on, like, my three heaviest bets are going to be on the main prelims. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
I have Jiří in a lay piece. I'm basically giving away my lay at this point. So, I agree with you. Jiří's one that stood out to me just because of his success. As somebody who's not as in tune with the UFC as you two, when names jump out to me and I'm like, why the fuck is this guy fighting on the prelims? Then I start looking into it and I'm just like, and to Travis's point, didn't do a ton of research because I'm like, how does Jiří not win this fight? And why is he a dog? So I threw it right in there. I had to throw some juice into a leg. Couldn't all be favorites. So
he's fought four times in the last, Rackets has fought four times in the last 4 years. Averaging one fight. Nothing against crazy competition outside of Jan, which is who he got knocked out last against, and that was 2 years ago. And Jiří coming off fresh, probably looking for revenge on that early stoppage versus Alex. In his you know, title defense. So he's looking to get back there for sure.
Also, under 2.5 at -140 isn't terrible either, because I don't know if this fight goes the distance. If Jiří's trying to make a statement and get back, two and a half. I thought it'd be at 1.5. The fact that it's at 2.5.
That's fair.
That's a good, that's either. What's that? What was the odds there? And
-140.
I like that. I'm going to add that to my little card here, because I always pull up my notes when I'm betting UFC based on what we talk about here. All right.
Sweet. Then we head into the main card. It is Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage. Bo Nickel continues to be some of the biggest betting favorites we've ever seen in the UFC at -2500.
Going up against him at some point. Not this guy though.
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, and as much as Jared has hated the dude and been a hater, I've listened to him on podcasts. He's been on everywhere. It's hard to not like him. He's not super cocky, but he's just very confident in his own skills, which there's a big difference there. And he just knows, he just trains nonstop. He is a very straight shooter. As much as we like to drink alcohol and have a good time, not drinking alcohol and not having a good time is what it takes to be the best fighter in the world.
Yeah.
And he's kind of on that path.
And also a lame ass, but that's fun too.
Exactly. But we're not UFC fighters. So, yeah. He has finished every single one of his UFC fights, even dating back to the Dana White Contender Series, in the first round.
But now you can't even just rely on sub because you knocked the last dude out. So now you're just fucked, because to him, win inside distance is -900. So it's like,
yeah, fuck, I mean, him to win in the first round is still like -250.
Yeah, no thanks.
Unbettable. It's unbettable. You just got to hope for just something, just hope for excitement. And that's what he's going to bring to the table. He's going to push the pace. He's going to go after him.
If you're up a good amount of juice from the prelims and early prelims, then you just throw $5 on Cody Brundage. And if some miracle happens, then you've got fucking $50.
Yeah, because none of us are putting Bo in a parlay. Absolutely, it's not even worth it. No. Yeah, not even worth it. Even his props.
Gain like $1 of value.
Yeah. No, thank you. I might do that, Ethan. If my Sterling. I mean,
why not, right? You root for Bo Nickel, but if Cody Brundage pulls it off, then you got.
No, I don't.
He's like, I ain't doing it anyways.
No. The one time we were Bo Nickels when I bet on him, and it's not going to be on this card. So I love seeing people lose. Like Travis, and I, one of the most electric fights Travis and I ever watched was this guy who was a +1100 underdog. We didn't bet on this fight, but he won. He like took the fight on 8 days' notice, won, and it was in the first round. And it was fucking wild. We loved it. We loved watching it. I remember that. Even though we didn't win any fucking money on it, it was fun to watch, and I will always remember that. So.
I do love it, but it's not going to happen here.
No, it's not.
You're going to have to be able to get a little bit tougher competition than Cody Brundage, who has had 8 UFC fights and still has – he's pulled through his card. I mean, I know some of the guys on there, but they are not high quality at all.
No.
These next four fights are people that could headline any card they want to. Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian. I don't this know how this fight goes.
This
I
is
don't know how this fight goes.
Why? Like, I expect this. I expected the odds on this to be much closer than what they are. Did you not, Travis?
+185. Yes and no. Armand's like the up and coming guy in this division. All Charles. Right. Again, so, yeah. I would expect the odds for Charles if he had been having a rough time. His only loss as of late has been a sub by Islam.
So that's what I'm saying. Let's read through Charles' resume, because I want everyone on who's listening to hear this. Going back to his last fight, KO'd Benil, lost to Islam, which everyone does via triangle choke. Submitted Gaethje, submitted Poirier, KO'd Michael Chandler, beat Tony Ferguson, submitted Kevin Lee, knocked out Jared Gordon, and then they kind of then Jim Miller and like Clay Guida. Going back to that, though, his last loss was to Paul Felder in 2017. So this dude's fought, like, the cream of the crop of 155. and beat them all outside of Islam Makhachev. That's my thing. Like, for him to be plus 185 is just wild to me.
They are both coming off knockouts against Beneil Dariush in the first round. So they have that going for them. But yeah, if you're looking at just resume alone, you got to go Charles. What scares me is that Charles has proven to be hittable. We've seen him get rocked a handful of times.
But Armin isn't really a KO artist though. If you look at his history too, like
he has 9 knockouts.
Yeah, but look who they are: Joaquin Silva, Joel Alvarez. Me and my heart of hearts, I cannot bet on Armin Saruki in here. I just can't do it.
I'm not either. I'm gonna take Charles Oliveira. Yeah, not by a lot, but I'm gonna take him.
No, yeah, and here's the thing. With Armin being a KO artist and having those 9 knockouts, and Charles probably knowing his chin's a little compromised, Charles, I think, to me, is the much better ground fighter, clearly, as I just ripped off his resume. I think he maybe fights us a little bit smarter and tries to get it to the ground.
Armand's an ATT guy.
Yeah, fuck him.
You know those guys with those tattoos, you never want to go at them.
Yeah. This fight's going to be fun. Like you said, like Travis said, I'm on Charles a little bit, plus 25, not a ton. Don't love it, but I'm definitely going to bet him just because I can't not take him. If this was a little bit closer, like maybe like a
– if you were a favorite, I would be a little more weary, but an underdog
– I'm not even a favorite. If he was plus 120 and Army was minus 115, I might look at some props angles a little bit, but I just got to take Charles here. This is that kind of just like jumped out at me.
Yeah, it jumped out at me so much that I put him in my leg. And I don't really have a whole lot. I really don't have a whole lot to back that up other than just confidence of knowing Charles Oliveira. I can't talk. And wanted some juice in the lay. I don't have anything really else to go on. So don't take my word for it. Take these two and what they've been talking about. But I threw it in there. I did have another bet on this. Kind of going off what you said, Jared, if you think this is going to be a banger of a fight. I think it's going to be such a banger of a fight that it's going to be one of those classic. We're going to see all 3 rounds. They're going to go toe for toe the entire time, and it's going to go the distance, but it is going to be a bloodbath. And I love it at plus 215. I really think that this fight is just going to be, dudes are just going to eat punches. They're just going to be going back and forth, fight of the night type of thing. At the end, they hug it out because for some reason fighters do that nowadays. And we see potentially fight of the night, and plus 215 is some great value for a fight to go the distance and what could be a banger.
Ooh. I don't hate that.
Or somebody will get knocked out in 20 seconds. Either way. Yeah.
Or submitted in with 2 minutes to go in the third round.
Right.
That's a tough bet because 90% of Charles Oliveira's 43 fights have been inside this.
I know. I know.
That's the reason why the juice is there.
Yeah,
juice might be worth the squeeze. All right, next up we've got the. This isn't the BMF, is it?
This is the BMF. This is the BMF.
All right, Justin Gaethje,
5-round fight
versus Max Holloway. Going up, we have 3 5-round fights in a row. This fucking card isn't going to get over with until 1:30 Central Time. Max Holloway going up to lightweight to face him. Not the first time, but. Last time he did it, what happened?
Lost to Dustin Poirier,
who just got knocked out by Justin Gaethje. Gaethje coming off of 2 great wins, decision against Fazeev, head kick knockout against Poirier. The man has 20 knockouts in his professional career.
But
I'm sorry, I know Max Holloway's never been dropped.
Yeah, that's two.
You're just running into a different beast.
I disagree. I think Holloway's seen what Gaethje can provide. I don't think he's knocks. Here's my bet in this fight. Over 4.5 minus 120. Because Holloway's never been knocked out in the UFC. Justin hasn't been knocked out since 2018. Holloway's never been knocked out. His last loss inside distance was at UFC 143 in February of 2012, which is stupid to even say out loud. And 6 out of 7 Holloway's losses have come to Poirier, McGregor, and Volkanovski. I think he's a little bit undervalued here. I'm not going to bet on him. I like the over 4.5. I don't think anyone's going to get finished in this fight. I think we're going to see what Ethan said with the last fight. I think we're going to see in this fight two dudes just standing up, throwing, going at it. Because I think Holloway is the best boxer in the UFC, bar none.
I'm taking Justin Gaethje no matter what, though.
He could win. He's going to win by decision. I can almost promise you that.
I'm not going to take that risk just because he's only minus 170. Like your Aljo fight is very confident. This is one of my very confident fights. He's coming off. I mean, he's in probably the best position he's been in his career, arguably, at getting the title.
He won't get it, but he'll get a fight for it. But sure, yeah.
Right, but if he wins this fight, he's next. He's the number one contender.
Easy. I just think this is going to be a fucking dogfight.
Should be great.
How old is Max Holloway now, though?
Old.
No,
that's the only thing that worries me about his potential.
32.
Is that
32?
He's not as old as I thought, though. Is he really?
No, he's been around forever.
19.
Yeah,
it was like 18. Yeah, 18, 19 when he made his UFC debut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, in my head, I was like, is he like 37? Because that gets me worried about dudes getting knocked out, right? You're older, you're a little more brittle. Like,
but have you guys seen the shorts for this weekend?
No. Is he doing the fours?
Everyone's getting all these three fights are getting customized kits. So Justin Gaethje's have they're not colored American flags, but they're American flag printed. Max Holloway has red, white, and blue Hawaiian flowers on them. Zhang Wei Li has like dragon print. Alex Pereira has like Poetan print on his. They're all different. So it's pretty sweet.
That's wild. That is sick. That's fucking super sick.
So moving into the next fight.
We can all thank Bryce Mitchell for this, by the way. I'm just going to throw it out there right now because he fought for those camel shorts.
Everyone should be able to have customized fucking shorts. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's stop with the straight up red, blue, white, black nonsense. Let's have some
gold,
cool shit in there. Next up, a fight that has crazy high odds because this woman is an absolute killer. It's Zhang Wei Li versus Yan Xiaonan. I believe it is, I want to say it's the first time that two Chinese fighters have ever fought against each other.
Yep, for the championship.
So here we go. Zhang Wei Li is just a different beast. The only person that's ever had her number has been Thug Rose.
Yep, Zhang Wei Li is a lay piece and an easy one at that. That's all that needs to be said.
I mean, you're talking about Yan Xiaonan, who got knocked out by Carla Esparza.
Yeah. Most boring fighter on the face of the planet.
What's understood, don't got to be said.
Exactly.
Minus 550. My parlay consists of Jalen Turner, Kayla Harrison, Zhang Wei Li. I know the juice isn't crazy to squeeze, but it's plus 130. So
I like that. Mine is Bobby Green, Diego Lopez, Aljamain Sterling, and Weili Zhang at plus 430.
Mine is, as you all know, I love the juice. Mine is Jalen Turner, Aljamain Sterling, Jiří Prochazka, and Charles Oliveira at plus 1,000.
I don't hate that. Honestly, I don't hate that at all. I actually like that a lot.
Just put them in the parlay, and then, hey, $10 win 100.
It'll lose on the first fight. It's fine. it'll lose on Charles Oliveira. Let's be real.
It'll lose the second to last fight. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's go into the main event, which everyone kind of dogged. I mean, I even dogged this main event when I saw it. I'm coming around towards it a little more. I just don't see Jamahal Hill as that guy that really gets me out of bed. Alex Pereira, Jamahal Hill. There's a fight in this, and I love, and this is probably my favorite pick of the fight, favorite pick of the night. Alex Pereira minus 130.
Dude's I mean, murderer. That's all you got to do. If Yuri can't beat Alex, then sweet dreams ain't beating Alex. And I think Jamahal Hill is a little bit better than everyone gives him credit for, including myself and Travis. He's a great wrestler. I think that's going to be his game plan going into it. But I think Alex has better striking ability, better job at keeping the distance between him and Jamahal. I think Travis said this fight card won't get over till 130. I think it'd be earlier than that because I don't think this fight goes the full distance.
He's not a great wrestler. He's just a black. He's just a Yeah. BJJ black belt.
What? Yeah, you know what I meant. He's good on
the ground. He doesn't have any submission wins.
Well, yeah,
he's got power in his hands.
That's what I was gonna say. Is, you know, I came around to this more because when they announced this fight, you two were talking like, man, really? Like that's the main event, and I was like, yeah. I was like, I mean, outside of Pereira, like I know Jamal Hill, but I don't like nothing really stood out to me. Let's put it that way. But the more I looked at it, this is one of those fights that I feel like is going to be upright maybe not the entire time, but a good chunk of the time. And yeah. I think those are the fun fights to watch, right? Is when they're not just sitting there grappling, holding position. There's not a whole lot going on when they're on the ground. This is a fight that's going to have constant movement. And I think that's what will make it fun.
Yeah. If it's not an early finish, because I think the constant movement is where Jamal Hill, if he plays into that with Poatan, that's where he's going to get in trouble. Honestly.
I saw a video today of Jamal Hill fighting Glover and his footwork. And he was very flat footed.
Yeah.
He came forward. He wasn't on his toes. If Alex Pereira catches you like that, you're not recovering at all.
No.
So
that's why I think, yeah, it's an easy bet. It's an easy bet to end the night. I like
it. Literally the only fight that we were opposing on is Bobby Green, Jim Miller.
Yep.
Which, that's it. So after that, we all root together, we win together, or lose together. If you haven't listened this far, or if you are, we're going to put all of our picks out on Twitter, usually around like noon on Saturday, so you can catch them all there. But that's UFC 300. Let's hope for a banger, because we got UFC St. Louis in a month.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Boy. It's the week after UFC 301, though.
We have a jam-packed week next week.
Me and Travis have like a jam-packed month, like next like 4 weeks. We got Jax's birthday party and UFC 300. Got Cam's birthday party the following weekend. We have the draft the following Thursday, and then we got me and Travis
a draft Zach episode that Sunday of
That's what I meant by jam-packed week. We have a Tuesday episode and a Sunday episode. Like we are going to be cooking some content for y'all.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it's just going to be insane. A lot of events coming up for a lot of, and it's starting to become that weather's starting to get warmer. I actually people think this is like the downtime in sports. I think it's cool because people get to watch other sports they don't normally watch. UFL, UFC, Masters, NFL draft. Like it's a different type of sports that are going on right now. And it's, to me, like, I like this time of year. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the NFL, I love college football, I love some college basketball, but now that's all over and behind us, some different stuff's coming up and it's exciting. So, yep. And yeah, now that I knew I was going to be excited for this card, but when I sat down to look at it and start like thinking about how I'm going to bet on it and how I'm going to watch it and how I'm looking at different fights, I'm even more excited for it top to bottom, probably more than any other. I know we say this a lot, but more than any other card that I've ever seen. Like, really, like, this is just stupid.
Oh yeah. That's going to be a great one. It's going to be awesome. Catch all of our reactions, our bets, everything on Twitter. You boys are good. We're good. You
good
next week with two episodes.
Yep. Peace.
Peace.